It's good to be in the presence of God. So we're going to go to Psalm 119, and we're going to read the whole of this. No, we're not. We're going to read the first 16 verses of Psalm 119. So although it's only 16 verses, so we'll just try and soak in the effect of each of these verses, because we could actually do this with the whole of this psalm, just sit and like have a sunbathe in this psalm. So start at verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this: joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commandments. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Amen. Amen. How amazing is Psalm 119? And it just rolls on and rolls on like that, and just blesses you as you read it. I love taking a few sections of that each day, and just enjoying the we're loving this sunshine that we're bathing in and what have you. But the Word of God is like the sunshine. We can just bathe in that, the richness of what comes out of something like Psalm 119. But really, because I'm undisciplined, and as a speaker, and never ever really went to anywhere for them to tell me how to speak properly, there's not 3 points, there's points all over the place. So I hope we'll be all right as we go along. But there are some key verses in Psalm 119 that we've just read. And verse 11 is one: I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Lord, that's right.
I will study, verse 15, your commandments and reflect on your ways. And verse 16, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. And if we were to have a title for today's message, it would simply be the word of the Lord.
Yes.
The word of the Lord. I've been slowly reading through Genesis. I haven't done for some time, but I've just been slowly going through it now. So I'm on about chapter 35 or something. And I have been struck by the importance of how important the word of the Lord was to people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I'm not just saying those words, the names, because they nicely go together, but they really did have a word from the Lord.
Yes.
The word of the Lord came to them. And even to people that we wouldn't recognize or remember, people like Hagar, the servant wife of Abraham, and the sister of Rachel, Leah, who also became Jacob's wife. And so those people as well heard the word of the Lord to them in their situation and their circumstances. And their circumstances were pretty ugly and difficult at times. So in times past, the word of the Lord coming to ordinary people was a big deal in God's relationship with people.
Yes.
God spoke into people's situations and circumstances. And today, thank God, we can still hear the word of the Lord. And tonight I'm sort of using them interchangeably of the Bible, the word of God, and the word of the Lord to us. I'm sort of swapping them back and forward. But we can still hear the word of the Lord speaking to us today in the issues and circumstances of our lives.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
We've heard about that still small voice. I love that story in the Bible of Elijah's son who runs out and he's looking for a big noise and a big this and a big that. And he just sees at first just a cloud the size of a man's wrist or something like that. And sometimes we're trying to sometimes look for the word in lights.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it just comes how we're not expecting that, and quietly and sensitively
yes.
to us. And sometimes I have to be honest that the word of the Lord can at times feel or appear rare. That's just how I have found it to be sometimes. Yet even the people of God, God's people, Israel, experienced this for one reason or another from time to time. Now we usually think it has to do with being disobedient or something like that. But sometimes it would appear as though God wasn't listening and the word of the Lord wasn't coming. And yet we know that people like Joseph and others who went through the most severe and difficult situations, that God was there.
Yeah.
And that his word was working yeah. into their lives and situations, regardless of whether it was at the bottom of a pit or a prison cell.
Yeah.
God had his word to come to pass.
Amen.
Thank God that he looks after what he has spoken and his word to us. But regardless of difficulty or when it feels like barren times, I just want to say the word of the Lord still stands and still comes and is still valid. And when it comes to Psalm 119 and the word of the Lord, we could abbreviate the key verses that we've read into these statements about the word of the Lord, that I hide his word in my heart. Not so much a learning just to recite, but taking the word of God and hiding it in our inner place so that when we need to, we can call on that that we've put inside of us from God.
Yes.
Also, those verses that we read, those key verses, I will study his word. Now, we're not talking about a degree or endless hours trying to gain some qualification, but we're talking about just looking that little bit into the word of God, searching a little bit to find
yes.
what God is speaking somewhere. I will reflect on his word. A lot of people these days are doing a lot about meditation and reflection, but the word of God is the greatest source on which to take time to be still
yes.
and on which time to reflect. Even those verses that George read, Psalm 91, about hiding in the shelter
yes.
of the Most High. You know that just, when that's put inside of us, and it's put like into a deposit in us, we can call on that again. I will abide in the shelter and in the shadow of God. And so we reflect on his word. I take delight in his word. I will not forget his word. All of these things regarding the word of the Lord. Now, when I was a young person, I've only got 2 years to go, and I'm 60. That's true.
You're still just a lad.
Thank you very much. Although I'll try and remember that when I'm trying to run around with 16-year-olds in a hospital gymnasium and jumping up and down on trampolines, which I shouldn't do. But when I was a younger person,
yeah.
I took on the challenge of reading the Bible,
yes.
the whole Bible, from cover to cover, yeah. the Word of God. In the King James Version.
Ooh.
So You can imagine when you got to places like Ecclesiastes, etc., how exciting that was. And my reward was, and I've got it here. So, as you can see, it's very heavy, this bag. But my reward was a Thompson Chain reference Bible.
Oh.
Now, this was like amazing because it had everything that you would need to go on and study everything else, and then all the stuff in the back and what have you, endless hours and hours of study. But I was very proud to receive it. But in one sense, the fact that it was a reward for what I had done was only secondary to the fact that I read it day in, day out. And the Word of God began to be the Word of the Lord to me.
Amen.
It began to be embedded into my heart and into my soul. And it really served to engage this love affair that I was entering into in the purest sense with God.
Yes.
And in the front, I used to write all these little ditties as well. But here's my mom's writing. And it says, "With much Christian love to you, son. In appreciation of all the love and care you have given us from Dad, Mom, and Leslie, the Lord bless you. Christmas 1976. Psalm 37 verse 4. Now, Psalm 37 verse 4 has been like a deposit.
Yes.
Like getting the crown jewels and putting it into a safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then at times it comes back to you.
Yeah.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then I can always hear a voice going, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge. But that was, and I lost it for a while. It ended up somewhere else, and it had a few extra marks on it that weren't there in the early days. And so that was that one. Now, so that Bible stands to, it's like a reminder. In Genesis, whenever God did something, he said, build an altar.
Yes.
Build an altar for this, build an altar for that. You know, if you were an altar builder, you would have been in great business, because they were building altars all over the place, but altars that marked what God had done.
Yes.
Bethel was one and others. And so this is like an marks a... like a place of great importance. And then so that's the, what that Bible does, it reminds me of that. But however, there was a time when I walked away from all of that and turned my back on that love affair with God. And then of course I had to come back, you see. Now, after many years of being away and coming back, I found myself in the church. And this was given to me brand new. It had been left by somebody on the church pew. It was a Church of England that I'd gone into. And this was left by somebody. And they said, would you like to have it? Now, when I got it, I realized that one of the first places I went to, back to, was places like Psalm 37, verse 4. And also at the places like 1 Peter and all of those places, and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. And they all came back to me, those places that had been of great importance, like praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And it's like so powerfully poetic, but it's a deposit. It's the word of the Lord that becomes alive to us. And so this Bible marked one period, but this Bible marks another period.
Yes.
And so I've never wanted to lose this again, ever again. And I have got other Bibles now, but those two are like the altars in the early part of Genesis. They stand as a reminder. And so I thought I'd bring those and show them to you, because it becomes living in us when it moves off the page and becomes alive in us by the power of God. So you know this. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm that there is, but it's also been described as one of the most lengthy prayers in all the Bible. And I really feel you can get the sense of that as you read it through. If you were search for a theme within it, I think it would have to be the Word of God, the Word of the Lord. And so this longest prayer in the Bible is a prayer expressing a desire for the things of God to be central in the writer's life. Now, believe it or not, the Word of God is referred to in one way or another in every single one of the 176 verses, with the exception of 5 verses. In writing Psalm 119, David refers to it, though, the Word of the Lord, in different ways. Like this, verse 1, His law. That, to me, is the Word of the Lord. Verse 2, His testimonies. Verse 3, His ways. Verse 4, His precepts.
Yes.
Verse 5, His statutes. Not statues, His statutes. Verse 6, His commandments. Verse 7, His righteous judgments. Verse 9, His word. Verse 91, His ordinances. So all the time, and that's just a few of the terms that David refers to the Word of the Lord, the things of God. But that's not all David does. David also identifies clear ways in which the Word of God, about which he's writing, ministers to us as followers of his Word. And I wonder what our answer is and would be to people if they ask us, what does the Bible, the Word of God, people would more just to term it as the Bible, really. What does the Bible do for you? What does it mean to you? Why do you read it? What benefit do you get from it? Well, listen to the ways in which David says the Word of God ministers to us. In verse 9, he says this, and you can look at these verses if you have your Bible, but in verse 9 he says, the Word of God enables us to live pure lives through obedience.
Yes.
That's what the Word of God does. Yes. In verse 25, it quickens us or revives us when we're lying in the dust. Now the dust, let's think what the dust could be. It could be the dust of a bereavement, the dust of brokenness, the dust of a barren circumstance that we don't know. But the Bible says, the verse 25 says, it revives us when we're lying in the dust, the Word of the Lord. Verse 28 says, it strengthens us in sorrow. I'm so pleased about that. Because if you've experienced sorrow, and we have as well, then the strength of the Lord.
Yeah.
There's that song we sing that says, strength will rise.
Yeah.
And it rises not only when we wait on the Lord, but when we reflect on his word. And in verse 38, it reassures us of God's promises. In verse 42, it defends us. In verse 50, it comforts us. In verses 98 and 99, it instructs us and gives us wisdom. In verse 105, it enlightens us like a lamp for our feet. In verse 114, it assures us. In verse 116, it upholds us. In verse 165, it brings us peace. And in verse 170, it delivers us. And if you've managed to write that down, that's a miracle. And I'll just send you this notes. That's why the Word of the Lord needs to be part of our spiritual diet. And I ask myself, how's my diet? Is the Word of the Lord part of my diet? You remember D.L. Moody. And speaking about verse 11, which says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. D.L. Moody said that the Bible, the Word of God, would keep one from sin,
yes,
or sin would keep one from the Word of God.
Yes. Yes.
And things can get in the way. And speaking about Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven, Jesus said in Matthew 24 verse 35, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So the word of God is powerful, and it needs to be paramount in our lives. And Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and beings and desires. So the word of God is active, yes. It's powerful in our lives, and we thank God for it. And some people debate, but what's the authority of the word of God? Is it really the word of God? What can it be relevant for in our lives? And 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God, the word of the Lord, and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. In the winter time, in the old adverts, you used to have this breakfast cereal called Ready Breck. And you could see who had eaten it on the advert because they glowed. If you remember, yeah. There's something about the advert. I remember that if you eat Ready Breck, I think you glowed as you walked down the street.
You did.
And so, I know you couldn't really see the glow, people. I didn't know that. It wasn't real. But, you know, but the thing is, when we consume,
yes,
and feed on the Word of God,
yes,
it empowers us,
yes,
and it corrects us and directs us through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. So it's vital that we have it in our diet. But I have found, as I said earlier, that when something happens often in life, and as it did in yours, that distractions can come. Just distractions can come, or difficulties can crowd in, or busyness can potentially overwhelm us, or the demands of life get in the way, or we just get out of the habit. Mm-hmm. Now, on one hand, it seems like, how could you dare call it a habit? But it's a good habit, mm-hmm, to be in, of consulting the Word of God. But we can get out of the habit. Mm-hmm. I get out of the habit of going to the gym 11 and a half months of the year. And for a few weeks, I'm really good at it. But a lot of the time, I'm not good at it. And it can be like that with the Word of God. And just a practical word here, because we're all different, and because we our reading times and our abilities to concentrate are different, it's no good comparing ourselves to Tony, who reads 27 chapters a day, because we'll just get discouraged.
Before breakfast.
Do you know what I mean? Before breakfast. And so, you know, I've heard people talk about just reading small amounts, yeah, and really ruminating, yeah, on, yeah, that, and allowing that, yeah, to go, yes, deep, and even coming back to that after 2 or 3 days. And so it's more the habit of just allowing, yeah, the Word of God into our lives as what you can do, and not getting bogged down with what somebody next to you does, or it becomes more about how many chapters, yeah, did you read today,
yeah, yeah,
or how many books did you read today. And so it's wise and sound advice to remember that the Word of God will sustain us. It's the Word of God that keeps us focused, yeah, and it's the Word of God that reminds us how to challenge the situations and the circumstances and what life often wishes to tell us, especially in times of crisis. Now, I don't know about you, but today there's something I really want. And I want, regardless of anything I've known before, No matter how many years that we have walked this road as a Christian, I would like a fresh revelation and a fresh understanding of the Word of God. I would like it to come again with that, just that fresh eyes. You know, when you've left your glasses to be changed for too long, and you eventually go and you get your glasses and you see with a fresh clarity. It's almost, it feels odd, it feels as if it's not right, because you feel a little bit like that. But you know that something has changed. And I would like to have fresh sight and fresh insight and understanding again into the Word of God. And I want, in the words of Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 21, this. It says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. This is the word of the Lord. And they often say in Anglican situations, thanks be to God. I feel like saying that every time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. I'll go back and start again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power to us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. The word of the Lord. How amazing is it? And I want a fresh, as I'm sure you do, a fresh understanding, because when we read things like that, and it is made alive to us and deposited in us, it is there like those night storage heaters that heated up during the day, didn't they, or something, and stored the energy, and then they just gave it, irradiated out overnight. And this is what I want to happen. And knowing all of this, we know that it only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit of God making it alive in us. And for me, that has become the real difference between spiritual life and spiritual death. Could you imagine when you call, if you've ever watched any of those 999 programs where they call the ambulance service and they come out and they check you to make sure that you've got a pulse and that you're breathing, and they do all these things for you if you're not quite right, to bring you round as quick as possible. Well, I'm just imagining, could you imagine if you had a spiritual ambulance service and if you got called out and you're laying there, well, let's just check he's alive to the spirit. Let's just check that he's got some of the word of God in him. Oh, what's the vital signs? Oh, he's not doing very well. He hasn't read the word of the God, the word of the Lord for 6 months. Oh dear. Yeah. Can you imagine? And then prescribe it, what we need. You know, well, listen, here's your prescription. Take 2 chapters a day and let it sink in. Take as much as you can of the Holy Spirit every day and learn to bask and dwell in the presence of God. Could you imagine having prescriptions like that? Having a chemist for the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I'm not being disrespectful.
No.
But being able to recall the Word of God is a good thing. But we have to put it there. It's got to be put inside us, so that when trouble comes, as it will, we can dig deep and find the word of God says as above the circumstances. I love what David says right at the start of his psalm in verse 1 and 2. He says that joy, or being joyful, belongs to people of integrity who do 2 things. They follow his instructions. That means that the word of God is like a sat nav, guided and directed to the right location, and they search for him with all their hearts.
Yes.
Oh, Holy Spirit, just give us more of that.
Amen.
Where we want to search for you with all of our heart. So this afternoon, and in conclusion, I have three questions that I've been asking of myself. And three questions I would like to give to you.
Yeah.
For you to ask of yourself as well. And the first one is, how's my hearing of the word of the Lord? Am I hearing the word of the Lord? How's my searching for the word of God? Am I digging that bit deeper?
Yes.
Am I looking a little bit closer? And how's my following of the word of the Lord? How's my hearing? How's my searching? And how's my following? The problem is that following requires discipline, and searching requires a bit of determination and application. It just doesn't happen. And recently the Holy Spirit has brought just a fresh challenge to my heart around following, searching, and applying the word of the Lord in my own life in a new way. And I've asked myself afresh, how dedicated am I to its place in my daily life? Or have I stopped searching that little bit more into the word of God? That being the case, I've been compelled to do a stock take. Now, if you ever worked in offices or factories or whatever, stock take is that time when they look at what's there, what's in the place. And so I've been doing that and just taking a stock take of where the word of God sits in my life. And I would encourage you to do that too. Just to ask, what's the place of the word of God? Because the benefits of doing that, of undertaking a stock take in the place of our lives, are really worthwhile. And out of all of that, the purpose is to develop a consistency. Not a shackled, you know, where it becomes a guilt thing, but where there's a consistency of application to the word of God. And David says in Psalm 119 verse 5, "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees, the word of the Lord. Oh, that my way, my actions would consistently show that that deposit within me is working." And that's my prayer too. The problem with consistency, I find that it's often easier to be consistently inconsistent. But I want to be consistent. My school report when I was younger often said things like, "Stuart has the tendency to talk to those around him and becomes consistently distracted." But today I want to consistently reflect on the word of the Lord in my life. And there's a benefit of being consistent. And Psalm 119 verse 6 says this, "Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands."
Amen.
You know, David was a man dedicated to the word of God, and he was a man who made some grave errors and got some things right and some things wrong, had good days, bad days, dark times, light times. But when you read the Psalms, in Psalm 119, you see a heart for the word of the Lord, for God. And so he gives me encouragement. In fact, and when I've been reading through Genesis, I'm feeling really encouraged. When I'm reading, do you know, I haven't read Genesis, I can't remember for how long, but I have been encouraged at some of the messes that happened, and I've only got to chapter 35 or something like that, 38, 35, something like that, and I cannot believe what Jacob got up to and scheming and what have you, and oh dear me, and all sorts. It's shocking, actually, but it's amazing, because you realise that God's still speaking into the lives of people that get stuff bad and wrong. Thank God. And so today I've just come really where I started, I'm going to finish, that I just want to encourage you to hide, I am hidden your word in my heart, really, so that my ways reflect his. And so I hope that that's been an encouragement to consume the word of God with a fresh enthusiasm.
Amen. Amen.